3 years ago, the Metropolitan Opera started simulcasting performances in movie theaters across the country. No one was sure if there was much of an audience for opera, but after a year, the demand was so great they tripled the number of theaters. Most of us think of opera as firmly belonging to adults, but Clarity James believes young children can also appreciate opera. James had a distinguished professional career as an opera singer. Now she's a professor of music at Radford University, where, with a small troupe of students and colleagues, she brings original operas to elementary-aged children who she says respond surprisingly well. Clarity, we're going to talk about bringing opera to very young audiences. But before we get into it, tell me a little bit about your own career as a singer. How old were you when you discovered you had the opera voice?
Oh, wow. I was always told I was too loud as a kid. And in the opera, you know, loud is good.
So your family knew from the very start that you were a musical child.
Well, they knew I was a loud child, and I sang all the time around the house. But I grew up in Wyoming, so it wasn't one of my choices to be an opera singer. I suppose in high school was the first time that you know, I was actually given a solo, you know, wow.
What was really the highlight for you of your singing career? What did you enjoy the most?
I had the great good fortune to work with Leonard Bernstein in his home kingdom of Vienna, at the Vienna Staatsoper. And we did the last opera that he wrote called A Quiet Place. In Vienna, and he conducted. It doesn't get better than that.
Was any of his direction to you memorable for you?
Well, I remember one time when he was still writing it, and we were in his apartment, the Dakota, in New York, and he complained that he couldn't understand my words. This is Leonard Bernstein, and this is some little twit from Wyoming. And without thinking, I said to him, well, it's because you've put an E up here, and it should be this. And I told him he needed to change the vowels. And I went, oh, my God, what have I done? I just told Leonard Bernstein what to do. And he just roared. And you know what? He did it. He changed the vowel. We found a different word. And that was amazing to me. And I was really shaken by it after I did it.
How did you first get the idea of taking this form of music you love and performing for children?
Well, I was in the middle of my own performing career, and I got cancer. And I went, is there some stress in my life that I'm not admitting, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I knew that I loved teaching. And so I went, I think that I just might do teaching and do a bit of performing, but not this full tilt boogie of being in a new city every few months or weeks or whatever. I had always loved children. Children are so honest. Children are so open until we kind of civilize it out of them, you know?
Right. So when you decided to take opera to young children, how did they react to it? Were they polite and attentive, excited, that kind of thing?
You know, it's kind of scary when you're faced with anywhere from 200 to 2,000 or more children at one time, because there's a roar and then there's a lesser roar, but there's not really silence. But then after we started the shows, it was amazing how they would respond. If you're honest with them and give them something worth hearing, worth looking at, they really do respond. And after one of our very first shows, this little kid came up to me and he said, well, you know, I thought I didn't like opera, all that woo, woo, woo stuff. But this was wonderful.
Did you have to change how you perform to sort of suck the children in?
Not really. It's a matter of finding the right repertoire. And oh boy, that's another wonderful story. It just so happened that one of my colleagues was about to retire. Her specialty was elementary music education, and she had been doing children's plays. And so we now, going into this fall, will do a premiere of our seventh opera in, well, it's about 13 years.
I'm going to play an excerpt from a Wagner opera. I think this is Das Rheingold. Talk about how children's opera might be different from this.
Ihr Nicker, wie seid ihr niedlich, neidliches Volk, aus Nibelheims Nacht nahte ich mich gern, neigtet ihr euch zu mir.
So tell me the things that you notice, how you would bring opera to children in a different fashion than what we customarily hear.
Well, first of all, that's a wonderful, wonderful opera. The musical content is very complex in that. That is not to say that it wouldn't be enjoyed by children. I would absolutely take a child to hear Wagner. But the problem is that the whole opera is very long. And you may have noticed they were talking in German, not English. But there's always something to see in opera. You know, full productions of opera involve wonderful orchestra. They have the singers, architecture, it has costuming, it has drama, it has, of course, the magnificent singing. If a child is ready to just sit there and let this magnificence wash over him, then there's no reason that it can't be appreciated by a child. But what we're doing in our children's opera is we are dealing with subjects that are age appropriate. A lot of regular opera has plenty of blood and guts and murder and mayhem and betrayal and tragic endings. You know, the end of The Ring, Götterdämmerung, is the twilight of the gods. We have this show called The Forbidden Valley. And we end the show singing that peace is more than a dream. We can make it a reality. We always give the children something beautiful to go home with, as well as lessons learned.
Let me play now an excerpt from one of the operas you do bring to the children. This is a piece called If I Could Fly.
Oh, yes, I love that piece. Clara Lee is one of my students, and she's playing the part of Dina, who's an assistant to the king.
What is that, trilling?
Yes, and I think that was probably a B natural, which is high for any soprano, and she did a very good job with it. And the commitment to her reality, you know, opera singers also get a bad rap for not being good actors, but really, the best opera singers are wonderful actors. After you get over this idea of, what's the right phrase, the suspension of disbelief that something like that could happen. When you do that and you just listen, they really figure it out. And they go, wow, she's talking to me. She really said something to me in just a couple of minutes. You know, Wagner takes longer. And kids would rather see something and see movement than listen to a lot of talking. They get enough of that talking from us adults.
Do you feel that children are getting something from these performances other than being entertained in the moment? That there's something going on inside that they wouldn't have had otherwise if you weren't giving them opera in this form?
Yes, absolutely. Most of the kids that we go to are from low-income areas, and they've probably never seen a live opera performance. And we got a grant from the Ronald McDonald Charities Foundation. And the executive director said that, you know, it was absolutely imperative that the children have access to things like all sorts of social and medical, psychological help. But this is what she ended up saying when she gave the grant to us. And she said, children must have beauty in their lives as well.
That's a beautiful thing to hear, isn't it? And we all know that.
Right.
We have a short recording of your own singing. Tell me about this.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember a single note of that kind of stuff. But we do have some excerpts. I did a faculty recital in January, and I ended with some wonderful pieces by Gordon Myers. And he has set to music quotes of some famous and not so famous people. But I think everybody knows the Robert Benchley quote where he says, upon arriving in Venice, he wired back home, "The streets are filled with water. Please advise." And so dear Gordon Myers has set things like that to music.
That was great. What do you think of this new way of bringing opera across the country through simulcast performances on screens in lots of different communities?
Oh, I love it. And, you know, I had misgivings at first. I went, oh, yeah, great performances, been there, done that, seen those. But, you know, being in a theater with other people, watching something as it's happening, I'm not saying that it's a substitute for going to an actual live performance, but it's the next best thing. You know, the extra little things that they do, they always have another artist backstage, and you get to talk to these people, and it's really an extra treat for people who live in areas the way we do that you can't get up to New York every other day.
Well, Clarity James, thank you for talking with me and singing with me today on With Good Reason.
It's been a pleasure, Sarah. Thanks.
Clarity James is a professor of music at Radford University. To see her students performing children's opera in costume, visit our website. And if you can remember the moment you were hooked by opera, we'd love for you to share the story with us on our website, withgoodreasonradio.org. You're listening to With Good Reason. Elliot Majerzik and Jesse Dukes are our associate producers. Andrew Windham is our executive producer. Nancy King creates our feature capsules. Jeannie Palin handles listener services. And Lydia Wilson is our publicity coordinator. We had help this week from Ben Martin of WVTF and Toby Schreiner of WAMU. With Good Reason is produced by the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. For a free copy of this show on CD, call 877-451-5098. I'm Sarah McConnell. Thanks for listening.